This is number 4 in our Sophiad series, Wisdom Texts at the Jacama Door, and you're listening to Sorka Berry, your editor and reader. This week we have for you part 2 of a series of texts from the Phaedrus by Plato. Here Socrates addresses Phaedrus. Such is the life of the gods, but of the other souls, that which is like us to a god and best able to follow keeps the head of its charioteer above the surface as it makes the circuit, though the unruly behaviour of its horses impairs its vision of reality. A second class sometimes rises and sometimes sinks, and owing to the restiveness of its horses sees part, but not the whole. The rest, in spite of their unanimous striving to see the upper world, fail to do so, and are carried around beneath the surface, trampling and jostling one another, each eager to outstrip its neighbour. Great is the confusion and struggle and sweat, and many souls are lamed, and many have their wings all broken through the feebleness of their charioteers. Finally, for all their toil, they depart without achieving initiation into the vision of reality, and feed henceforth upon mere opinion. The reason for their extreme eagerness to behold the plain of truth is that the meadow there produces fit pasturage for the best part of the soul, and that the wings by which the soul is borne aloft are nourished by it. And it is decreed by fate that any soul which has attained some vision of the truth by following in the train of a god shall remain unscathed till the next great circuit, and if it can continue thus, shall forever be free from hurt. But when a soul fails to follow and misses the vision, and as the result of some mishap sinks beneath its burden of forgetfulness and wrongdoing, so that it loses its wings and falls to earth, the law is this. In its first incarnation, no soul is born in the likeness of a beast. The soul that has seen the most enters into a human infant, who is destined to become a seeker after wisdom or beauty, or a follower of the muses and a lover. The next most perceptive is born as a law-abiding monarch or as a warrior and commander. The third as a man of affairs, or the manager of a household, or a financier. The fourth is to be a lover of physical activity, or a trainer or physician. The fifth is given the life of a soothsayer or an official of the mysteries. The sixth will make a poet or a practitioner of some other imitative art. The seventh, an artisan or a farmer. The eighth, a popular teacher or a demagogue. The ninth, a tyrant. In all this, the lot which befalls a man between two incarnations corresponds to the goodness or badness of his previous life. The individual soul does not return whence it came for 10,000 years. So long does it take for a soul to grow its wings again, except it be the soul of one who has sought after wisdom without guile, or whose love for a boy has been combined with such a search. These souls, if they choose the life of the philosopher 3 times successively, regain their wings in the 3rd period of 1,000 years, and in the 3,000th year win their release. The rest at the end of their first life are brought to judgment, and after judgment go to expiate their sins in places of punishment beneath the earth, while others are borne aloft by justice to a certain region of the heavens to enjoy the reward which their previous life in human form has earned. But in the 1,000th year, both sorts alike must draw lots and make choice of their second life, each soul according to its own pleasure. At this moment, a human soul may take upon itself the life of a beast, or a soul which was originally human may change from beast back to man. It is impossible for a soul that has never seen the truth to enter into human shape. It takes a man to understand by the use of universals, and to collect out of the multiplicity of sense impressions a unity arrived at by a reason of process. Such a process is simply the recollection of the things which our soul once perceived when it took its journey with a God, looking down from above on the things to which we now ascribe reality, and gazing upwards towards what is truly real. That is why it is right that the soul of the philosopher alone should regain its wings, for it is always dwelling in memory, as best it may, upon those things which a God owes his divinity to dwelling upon. It is only by the right use of such aids to recollection, which form a continual initiation into the perfect mystic vision, that a man can become perfect, in the true sense of the word. Because he stands apart from the common objects of human ambition and applies himself to the divine, he is reproached by most men for being out of his wits. They do not realize that he is in fact possessed by a God. This then is another type of madness which befalls when a man, reminded by the sight of beauty on earth, of the true beauty, grows his wings and endeavours to fly upward, but in vain, exposing himself to the reproach of insanity, because like a bird he fixes his gaze on the heights to neglect of things below. And the conclusion to which our whole discourse points is that in itself and in its origin, this is the best of all forms of divine possession, both for the subject himself and for his associate. And it is when he is touched with this madness that the man whose love is aroused by beauty in others is called a lover. As I have said, every human soul by its very nature has beheld true being. Otherwise, it would not have entered into the creature we call man. But it is not every soul that finds it easy to use its present experience as a means of recollecting the world of reality. Some had but a brief glimpse of the truth in their former existence. Others have been so unfortunate as to be corrupted by evil associations since they fell to earth, with the result that they have forgotten the sacred vision they once saw. Few are left who retain a sufficient memory. These, however, when they see some likeness of the world above, are beside themselves and lose all control, but do not realize what is happening to them because of the dimness of their perceptions. Now, the earthly likenesses of justice and self-discipline and all the other forms which are precious to souls keep no luster. And there are few who, by the use of their feeble faculties and with great difficulty, can recognize in the counterfeits the family likeness of the originals. But beauty was once ours to see in all its brightness, when in the company of the blessed we followed Zeus as other followed some other of the Olympians, to enjoy the beatific vision and to be initiated into that mystery which brings, we may say with reverence, supreme felicity. Whole were we who celebrated that festival, unspotted by all the evils which awaited us in time to come, and whole and unspotted and changeless and serene were the objects revealed to us in the light of that mystic vision. Pure was the light, and pure were we from the pollution of the walking sepulchre which we call a body, to which we are bound like an oyster to its shell.